the 17th of April. Up and to the office, where all the morning, at noon, home to dinner, and there find Mr. Pierce the surgeon, and he dined with us. And there, hearing that The Alchemist was acted, we did go, and took him with us, at the King's House, and is still a good play, it having not been acted for 2 or 3 years before. But I do miss Clun for the doctor. But more, my eyes will not let me enjoy the pleasure I used to have in a play. Thence with my wife in Hackney to Sir William Coventry's, who being gone to the park, we drove after him, and there met him coming out and followed him home, and there sent my wife to Unthanks, while I spent an hour with him, reading over first my draft of the administration of the navy, which he doth like very well, and so fell to talk of other things, and among the rest, of the story of his late disgrace, and how basely, and in a mean manner, the Duke of Buckingham hath proceeded against him, not like a man of honour. He tells me that the King will not give other answer about his coming to kiss his hands than, not yet, but he says that this that he desires, of kissing the King's hand, is only to show to the world that he is not a discontent, and not in any desire to come again into play, though I do perceive that he speaks this with less earnestness than heretofore, and this, it may be, is from what he told me lately, that the King is offended at what is talked, that he hath declared himself desirous not to have to do with any employment more, but he doth tell me that the leisure he hath yet had doth not at all begin to be burdensome to him, he knowing how to spend his time with content to him, and that he hopes shortly to contract his expense, so as that he shall not be under any straits in that respect neither, and so seems to be in very good condition of content. Thence I away over the park, it being now night, to Whitehall, and there in the Duchess's chamber to find the Duke of York, and upon my offer to speak with him he did come to me, and withdrew to his closet, and there did hear and approve my paper of the administration of the navy, only did bid me alter these words, upon the rupture between the late king and the parliament, to these, the beginning of the late rebellion, giving it to me as but reason to show that it was with the rebellion that the navy was put by out of its old good course into that of a commission. Having done this, we fell to other talk, he with great confidence telling me how matters go among our adversaries, in reference to the navy, and that he thinks they do begin to flag. But then, beginning to talk in general of the excellency of old constitutions, he did bring out of his cabinet, and made me read it, an extract out of a book of my late Lord of Northumberland's, so prophetic of the business of Chatham, as is almost miraculous. I did desire, and he did give it me, to copy out, which pleased me mightily. And so, it being late, I away unto my wife and by Hackney home, and there my eyes being weary with reading so much, but yet not so bad as I was afeard they would, we home, and to supper and to bed. The 18th of April, Lord's Day. Up and all the morning till 2 o'clock at my office with Gibson and Tom, about drawing up fair my discourse of the administration of the navy. And then Mr. Spong, being come to dine with me, I in to dinner, and then out to my office again to examine the fair draft, and so, borrowing Sir John Minnis's coach, he going with Commissioner Middleton, I to Whitehall, where we all met and did sign it. And then to my Lord Arlington's, where the King and Duke of York and Prince Rupert, as also Ormond and the two secretaries, with my Lord Ashley and Sir Thomas Clifford, was, and there, by and by, being called in, Mr. Williamson did read over our paper, which was in a letter to the Duke of York, bound up in a book with the Duke of York's book of instructions. He read it well, and after read, we were bid to withdraw, nothing being at all said to it. And by and by we were called in again, and nothing said to that business but another begun, about the state of this year's action, and our wants of money, as I had stated the same lately to our treasurers, which I was bid, and did largely and with great content open. And having so done, we all withdrew and left them to debate our supply of money, after which, being called in and referred to attend on the Lords of the Treasury, we all departed, and I only stayed in the house till the council rose, and then to the Duke of York, who in the Duchess's chamber came to me, and told me that the book was there left with my Lord Arlington, for any of the lords to view that had a mind, and to prepare and present to the king what they had to say in writing to any part of it, which is all we can desire, and so that rested. The Duke of York then went to other talk, and by and by comes the Prince of Tuscany to visit him and the Duchess, and I find that he doth still remain incognito, and so intends to do all the time he stays here, for avoiding trouble to the king and himself, and expense also to both. Thence I to Whitehall Gate, thinking to have found Sir John Minnis's coach staying for me, but not being there, and this being the first day of rain we have had many a day, the streets being as dusty as in summer, I forced to walk to my cousin Turner's, and there find my wife newly gone home, which vexed me, and so I having kissed and taken leave of Betty, who goes to Putney to school tomorrow, I walked through the rain to the Temple, and there with much ado got a coach, and so home, and there to supper, and Pelling comes to us, and after much talk we parted, and to bed. The 19th of April. Up and with Tom, whom, with his wife, I and my wife had this morning taken occasion to tell that I did intend to give him £40 for himself, and £20 to his wife toward their setting out in the world, and that my wife would give her £20 more, that so she might have as much to begin with as he, by coach to Whitehall, and there, having set him work in the robe chamber to write something for me, I to Westminster Hall, and there walked from 10 o'clock to past 12, expecting to have met Deb. But whether she had been there before, and missing me went away, or is prevented in coming and hath no mind to come to me, the last whereof, as being most pleasing, as showing most modesty, I should be most glad of, I know not. But she then not appearing, I, being tired with walking, went home, and my wife being all day at Jane's, helping her, as she said, to cut out linen and other things belonging to her new condition, I, after dinner, out again, and calling for my coach, which was at the coachmaker's, and hath been for these 2 or 3 days, to be new painted, and the window frames gilt against May Day, went on with my hackney away to Whitehall, and thence by water to Westminster Hall, and there did beckon to Doll Lane, now Mistress Powell, as she would have herself called, and went to her sister Martin's lodgings. The first time I've been there these 8 or 10 months, I think, and her sister, being gone to Portsmouth to her husband, I did stay and talk with, and drink with, Doll, and affair ella para tocar mi thing, and yo did the like para her, but did not the thing itself, having not opportunity enough. And so away, and to Whitehall, and there took my own coach, which was now come, and so away home and there to do business. And my wife, being come home, we to talk and to sup, there having been nothing yet like discovery in my wife of what hath lately passed with me about Deb. And so, with great content, to bed. The 20th of April. Up and to the office, and my wife abroad with Mary Batalier with our own coach, but borrowed Sir John Menace's coachman, that so our own might stay at home to attend at dinner, our family being mightily disordered by our little boy's falling sick the last night, and we fear it will prove the smallpox. At noon comes my guest Mr. Hugh May, and with him Sir Henry Capel, my old Lord Capel's son, and Mr. Packer, and I had a pretty dinner for them, and both before and after dinner had excellent discourse, and showed them my closet and my office, and the method of it, to their great content, and more extraordinary manly discourse, and opportunity of showing myself and learning from others. I have not in ordinary discourse had in my life, they being all persons of worth, but especially Sir Henry Capel, whose being a Parliament man, and hearing my discourse in the Parliament House hath, as May tells me, given him a long desire to know and discourse with me. In the afternoon we walked to the old artillery ground near the Spitalfields, where I never was before, but now, by Captain Dean's invitation, did go to see his new gun tried, this being the place where the officers of the ordnance do try all their great guns. And when we came, did find that the trial had been made, and they going away with extraordinary report of the proof of his gun, which, from the shortness and bigness, they do call Punchinello. But I desired Colonel Legg to stay, and give us a sight of her performance, which he did, and there, in short, against a gun more than as long and as heavy again, and charged with as much powder again, she carried the same bullet as strong to the mark and nearer and above the mark at point blank than theirs, and is more easily managed, and recoils no more than that, which is a thing so extraordinary as to be admired for the happiness of his invention, and to the great regret of the old gunners and officers of the ordnance that were there. Only Colonel Legg did do her much right in his report of her. And so, having seen this great and first experiment, we all parted, I seeing my guests into a hackney coach, and myself, with Captain Dean, taking a hackney, did go out toward Bow, and went as far as Stratford, and all the way talking of this invention, and he offering me a third of the profit of the invention, which, for aught I know or do at present think, may prove matter considerable to us. For either the king will give him a reward for it, if he keeps it to himself, or he will give us a patent to make our profit of it, and no doubt but it will be of profit to merchantmen and others to have guns of the same force at half the charge. This was our talk, and then to talk of other things of the navy in general, and among other things he did tell me that he doth hear how the Duke of Buckingham hath a spite at me, which I knew before, but value it not. And he tells me that Sir Thomas Allen is not my friend. But for all this I am not much troubled, for I know myself so useful that, as I believe, they will not part with me. So I thank God my condition is such that I can retire and be able to live with comfort, though not with abundance. Thus we spent the evening with extraordinary good discourse, to my great content. And so home to the office, and there did some business, and then home, where my wife doth come home, and I vexed at her staying out so late. But she tells me that she hath been at home with Mary Battalier a good while, so I made nothing of it, but to supper and to bed. The 21st of April. Up and with my own coach as far as the Temple, and thence sent it to my cousin Turner, who, to ease her own horses that are going with her out of town, doth borrow mine today. So I to order to Woods, and there to meet and met my Lord Bellis's, upon some business of his accounts, and having done that, did thence go to Whitehall and attended the Duke of York a little, being the first time of my waiting on him at St. James's this summer, whither he is now newly gone, and thence walked to Whitehall, and so by and by to the council chamber, and heard a remarkable cause pleaded between the farmers of the excise of Wiltshire in complaint against the justices of peace of Salisbury, and Sir Heneage Finch were for the former. But, Lord, to see how he did with his admirable eloquence word the matter is not to be conceived almost, so pleasant a thing it is to hear him plead. Thence at noon by coach home, and thither by and by comes my cousin Turner, and Theophila and Joyce in their riding clothes, they being come from their lodgings to her husband's chamber at the Temple, and there do lie and purpose to go out of town on Friday next. And here I had a good dinner for them, and after dinner by water to Whitehall, where the Duke of York did meet our office, and went with us to the Lord Commissioners of the Treasury, and there we did go over all the business of the state I had drawn up of this year's action and expense, which I did do to their satisfaction, and convincing them of the necessity of providing more money, if possible, for us. Thence, the Duke of York being gone, I did there stay walking with Sir Hugh Cholmondeley in the court, talking of news, where he told me that now the great design of the Duke of Buckingham is to prevent the meeting, since he cannot bring about with the king the dissolving, of this Parliament, that the king may not need it, and therefore my Lord St. Albans is hourly expected with great offers of a million of money to buy our breach with the Dutch, and this they do think may tempt the king to take the money, and thereby be out of a necessity of calling the Parliament again, which these people dare not suffer to meet again. But this he doubts, and so do I, that it will be to the ruin of the nation if we fall out with Holland. This we were discoursing when my boy comes to tell me that his mistress was at the gate with the coach, whither I went, and there find my wife and the whole company. So she and Mistress Turner, and Theophila and Talbot in mine, and Joyce, William Battalier, and I in a hackney to Hyde Park, where I was ashamed to be seen, but mightily pleased, though troubled with a drunken coachman that did not remember, when we came to light, where it was that he took us up, but said at Hammersmith, and thither he was carrying of us, when we came first out of the park. So I carried them all to Hercules Pillars, and there did treat them. And so about 10 at night parted, and my wife and I and William Batelier home, and he gone, we to bed. The 22nd of April. Up and to the office, where all the morning, at noon, home to dinner, and Captain Dean with us, and very good discourse, and particularly about my getting a book for him to draw his whole theory of shipping, which at my desire he hath gone far in, and hath shown me what he hath done therein to admiration. I did give him a parallelogram, which he is mightily taken with, and so, after dinner, to the office, where all the afternoon till night late, and then home, vexed at my wife's not being come home, she being gone again abroad with Mary Batalier, and came not home till 10 at night, which vexed me so that I to bed and lay in pain awake till past 1, and then to sleep. The 23rd of April. Going to rise without saying anything, my wife stopped me, and after a little angry talk, did tell me how she spent all yesterday with Mary Batalier and her sweetheart, and seeing a play at the new nursery which is set up at the house in Lincoln's Inn Fields, which was formerly the King's House, so that I was mightily pleased again, and rose with great content. And so up and by water to Whitehall, and there to the council chamber, and heard 2 or 3 causes, among others that of the complaint of Sir Philip Howard and Watson, the inventors, as they pretend, of the business of varnishing and lacquer work, against the company of painters, who take upon them to do the same thing, where I saw a great instance of the weakness of a young counsel, not used to such an audience, against the Solicitor General, and 2 more able counsel used to it. Though he had the right of his side, and did prevail for what he pretended to against the rest, yet it was with much disadvantage and hazard. Here I also heard Mr. Papillon make his defence to the King against some complaints of the farmers of the excise, but it was so weak and done only by his own seeking that it was to his injury more than profit, and made his case the worse, being ill-managed, and in a cause against the King. Thence at noon the council rising, I to unthanks, and there by agreement met my wife, and with her to the Cock, and did give her a dinner, but yet both of us but in ill humour, whatever was the matter with her. But thence to the King's Playhouse, and saw The Generous Portugals, a play that pleases me better and better every time we see it, and I thank God it did not trouble my eyes so much as I was afeard it would. Here, by accident, we met Mr. Shears, and yet I could not but be troubled, because my wife doth so delight to talk of him and to see him. Nevertheless, we took him with us to our mercer's and to the exchange, and he helped me to choose a summer suit of coloured camelot, coat, and breeches, and a flowered tabby vest, very rich, and so home, where he took his leave, and down to Greenwich, where he hath some friends, and I to see Colonel Middleton, who hath been ill for a day or 2 or 3, and so home to supper and to bed. The 24th of April. Up and to the office, where all the morning, and at noon, home to dinner, Mr. Shears dining with us by agreement, and my wife, which troubled me, mighty careful to have a handsome dinner for him, but yet I see no reason to be troubled at it, he being a very civil and worthy man, I think, but only it doth seem to imply some little neglect of me. After dinner to the King's House, and there saw The General revived, a good play that pleases me well, and thence, our coach coming for us, we parted, and home, and I busy late at the office, and then home to supper and to bed. Well pleased to-night to have Led, the vizard-maker, bring me home my vizard with a tube fastened in it, which I think will do my business, at least in a great measure, for the easing of my eyes. The 25th of April, Lord's Day. Up and to my office a while, and thither comes Led, with my vizard, with a tube fastened within both eyes, which, with the help which he prompts me to, of a glass in the tube, doth content me mightily. So to church, where a stranger made a dull sermon, but I mightily pleased to look upon Mr. Buckworth's little pretty daughters. And so home to dinner, where Will Howe came and dined with us, and then I to my office, he being gone, to write down my journal for the last 12 days, and did it with the help of my vizard and tube fixed to it, and do find it mighty manageable. But how helpful to my eyes this trial will show me. So abroad with my wife in the afternoon to the park, where very much company, and the weather very pleasant. I carried my wife to the lodge the first time this year, and there in our coach ate a cheesecake and drank a tankard of milk. I showed her this day also first the Prince of Tuscany, who was in the park, and many very fine ladies, and so home and after supper to bed. The 26th of April. Up, having lain long, and then by coach with Will Hewer to the excise office, and so to Lily's the varnisher, who is lately dead, and his wife and brother keep up the trade, and there I left my French prince to be put on boards, and while I was there, a fire burst out in a chimney of a house just over against his house, but it was with a gun quickly put out. So to Whitehall, and did a little business there at the Treasury Chamber, and so homeward, calling at the laceman's for some lace for my new suit, and at my tailor's, and so home, where to dinner, and Mr. Shears dined with us, who came hither today to teach my wife the rules of perspective. But I think, upon trial, he thinks it too hard to teach her, being ignorant of the principles of lines. After dinner comes one Colonel McNacken, one that I see often at court, a Scotchman, but I know him not, only he brings me a letter from my Lord Middleton, who he says is in great distress for £500 to relieve my Lord Morton with, but upon what account I know not, and he would have me advance it, without order, upon his pay for Tangier, which I was astonished at, but had the grace to deny him with an excuse. And so he went away, leaving me a little troubled that I was thus driven, on a sudden, to do anything herein. But Creed, coming just now to see me, he approves of what I have done, and then to talk of general matters, and by Shears being gone, my wife and he and I out, and I set him down at Temple Bar, and myself and wife went down the Temple upon seeming business, only to put him off. And just at the Temple gate I spied Deb with another gentlewoman, and Deb winked on me and smiled, but undiscovered, and I was glad to see her. So my wife and I to the change about things for her, and here at Mistress Barnett's shop, I am told by Betty, who was all undressed, of a great fire happened in Durham Yard last night, burning the house of one Lady Hungerford, who was to come to town to it this night. And so the house is burnt, new furnished, by carelessness of the girl sent to take off a candle from a bunch of candles, which she did by burning it off, and left the rest, as is supposed, on fire. The king and court was here, it seems, and stopped the fire by blowing up of the next house. The king and court went out of town to Newmarket this morning betimes, for a week. So home, and there to my chamber, and got my wife to read to me a little, and so to supper and to bed. Coming home this night, I did call at the coachmaker's, and do resolve upon having the standards of my coach gilt with this new sort of varnish, which will come but to 40 shillings, and contrary to my expectation, the doing of the biggest coach all over comes not to above £6, which is not very much. The 27th of April. Up and to the office, where all the morning. At noon, home to dinner, and then to the office again, where all the afternoon busy till late. And then home, and got my wife to read to me again in the nepotism, which is very pleasant, and so to supper and to bed. This afternoon was brought to me a fresh distringas upon the score of my Tangier accounts, which vexes me, though I hope it will not turn to my wrong. The 28th of April. Up and was called upon by Sir Hugh Chumley to discourse about some accounts of his of Tangier, and then to other talk, and I find by him that it is brought almost to effect the late endeavours of the Duke of York and Duchess, the Queen Mother, and my Lord St. Albans, together with some of the contrary faction, my Lord Arlington, that for a sum of money we shall enter into a league with the King of France, wherein he says my Lord Chancellor is also concerned, and he believes that in the doing hereof it is meant that he shall come in again, and that this sum of money will so help the King as that he will not need the Parliament, and that in that regard it will be forwarded by the Duke of Buckingham and his faction, who dread the Parliament. But hereby we must leave the Dutch, and that, I doubt, will undo us, and Sir Hugh Chumley says he finds William Coventry to think the like. My Lady Castlemaine is instrumental in this matter, and he says never more great with the King than she is now, But this is a thing that will make the Parliament and Kingdom mad, and will turn to our ruin. For with this money the King shall wanton away his time in pleasures, and think nothing of the main till it be too late. He gone, I to the office, where busy till noon, and then home to dinner, where Mary Batalier dined with us, and pretty Mary, and so I to the office again. This morning Mr. Shears sent me, in 2 volumes, Mariana, his History of Spain, in Spanish, an excellent book, and I'm much obliged for it to him. The 29th of April. Up and to the office, where all the morning and at noon dined at home, and then to the office again, there to dispatch as much business as I could, that I might be at liberty tomorrow to look after my many things that I have to do against May Day. So at night home to supper and to bed. The 30th of April. Up and by coach to the coachmaker's, and there I do find a great many ladies sitting in the body of a coach that must be ended by tomorrow. They were my Lady Marquis of Winchester, Bellises, and other great ladies, eating of bread and butter and drinking ale. I to my coach, which is silvered over, but no varnish yet laid on, so I put it in a way of doing, and myself about other business, and particularly to see Sir William Coventry, with whom I talked a good while to my great content, and so to other places, among others to my tailor's, and then to the belt-maker's, where my belt cost me 55 shillings of the colour of my new suit. And here, understanding that the mistress of the house, an oldish woman in a hat, hath some water good for the eyes, she did dress me, making my eyes smart most horribly, and did give me a little glass of it, which I will use, and hope it will do me good. So to the cutler's, and there did give Tom, who was with me all day, a sword, cost me 12 shillings, and a belt of my own, and set my own silver-hilt sword a-gilding against tomorrow. This morning I did visit Mr. Oldenburg, and did see the instrument for perspective made by Dr. Wren, of which I have one making by Brown, and the sight of this doth please me mightily. At noon my wife came to me at my tailor's, and I sent her home, and myself and Tom dined at Hercules Pillars, and so about our business again, and particularly to Lily's, the varnisher, about my prints, whereof some are pasted upon the boards, and to my full content. Thence to the frame-makers, one Norris in Longacre, who showed me several forms of frames to choose by, which was pretty, in little bits of mouldings to choose by. This done, I to my coachmakers, and there vexed to see nothing yet done to my coach at 3 in the afternoon, but I set it in doing, and stood by it till 8 at night, and saw the painter varnish it, which is pretty to see how every doing it over doth make it more and more yellow, and it dries as fast in the sun as it can be laid on almost. And most coaches are nowadays done so, and it is very pretty when laid on well, and not too pale as some are, even to show the silver. Here I did make the workmen drink, and saw my coach cleaned and oiled, and staying among poor people there in the alley, did hear them call their fat child Punch, which pleased me mightily, that word being become a word of common use for all that is thick and short. At night, home, and there find my wife hath been making herself clean against tomorrow, and late as it was, I did send my coachman and horses to fetch home the coach tonight, and so we to supper, myself most weary with walking and standing so much to see all things fine against tomorrow. And so to bed, God give a blessing to it. Meeting with Mr. Shears, he went with me up and down to several places, and among others to buy a periwig, but I bought none, and also to Dankert's, where he was about my picture of Windsor, which is mighty pretty, and so will the prospect of Rome be. May 1669. The 1st. Up betimes, called up by my tailor, and there first put on a summer suit this year, but it was not my fine one of flowered tabby vest and coloured camelot tunic, because it was too fine, with the gold lace at the hands, that I was afeard to be seen in it, but put on the stuff suit I made the last year, which is now repaired, and so did go to the office in it, and sat all the morning, the day looking as if it would be foul. At noon, home to dinner, and there find my wife extraordinary fine with her flowered tabby gown that she made 2 years ago, now laced exceeding pretty, and indeed was fine all over, and mighty earnest to go, though the day was very lowering, and she would have me put on my fine suit, which I did. And so anon we went alone through the town with our new liveries of serge, and the horses' manes and tails tied with red ribbon, and the standards thus gilt with varnish and all clean, and green reins, that people did mightily look upon us, and the truth is, I did not see any coach more pretty or more gay than ours all the day. But we set out of humour, I because Betty, whom I expected, was not come to go with us, and my wife, that I would sit on the same seat with her, which she liked not, being so fine, and then expected to meet Shears, which we did in the Pall Mall, and against my will I was forced to take him into the coach, but was sullen all day almost, and little complacent, the day also being unpleasing, though the park full of coaches, but dusty and windy and cold, and now and then a little dribbling rain, and what made it worse, there were so many hackney coaches as spoilt the sight of the gentlemen's, and so we had little pleasure. But here was William Batelier and his sister in a borrowed coach by themselves, and I took them and we to the lodge, and at the door did give them a syllabub and other things, cost me 12 shillings, and pretty merry, and so back to the coaches, and there till the evening, and then home, leaving Mr. Shears at St. James's Gate, where he took leave of us for altogether, he being this night to set out for Portsmouth Post in his way to Tangier, which troubled my wife mightily, who is mighty, though not, I think, too fond of him. But she was out of humour all the evening, and I vexed at her for it, and she did not rest almost all the night, so as in the night I was forced to take her and hug her to put her to rest. So home, and after a little supper to bed. The 2nd of May, Lord's Day. Up and by water to Whitehall, and there visit my Lord Sandwiches, who, after about 2 months' absence at Hinchingbrook, came to town last night. I saw him, and very kind, and I'm glad he is so, I having not wrote to him all the time, my eyes indeed not letting me. Here, with Sir Charles Herbert and my Lord Hinchingbrook and Sydney, we looked upon the picture of Tangier, designed by Charles Herbert and drawn by Dankert, which my Lord Sandwich admires as being the truest picture that ever he saw in his life. And it is indeed very pretty, and I will be at the cost of having one of them. Thence with them to Whitehall, and there walked out of the sermon with one or other, and then saw the Duke of York after sermon, and he talked to me a little, and so away back by water home. And after dinner got my wife to read, and then by coach she and I to the park, and there spent the evening with much pleasure, it proving clear after a little shower, and we mighty fine as yesterday, and people mightily pleased with our coach, as I perceived. But I had not on my fine suit, being really afeard to wear it being so fine with the gold lace, though not gay. So home and to supper, and my wife to read, and Tom, my nepotism, and then to bed. The 3rd of May. Up and by coach to my Lord Brunker's, where Sir George Carteret did meet Sir John Minnis and me to discourse upon Mr. Deering's business, who was directed in the time of the war to provide provisions at Hamburg by Sir George Carteret's direction. And now George Carteret is afeard to own it being done without written order. But by our meeting we do all begin to recollect enough to preserve Mr. Deering, I think, which poor silly man I shall be glad of, it being too much he should suffer for endeavouring to serve us. Thence to St. James's, where the Duke of York was playing in the Pall Mall, and so he called me to him most part of the time that he played, which was an hour, and talked alone to me, and among other things tells me how the King will not yet be got to name anybody in the room of Penn, but puts it off for 3 or 4 days, from whence he doth collect that they are brewing something for the Navy, but what, he knows not, but I perceive is vexed that things should go so. And he hath reason, for he told me that it is likely they will do in this as in other things, resolve first, and consider it and the fitness of it afterward. Thence to Whitehall and met with Creed, and I took him to the Harp and Ball, and there drank a cup of ale, he and I alone, and discoursed of matters. And I perceive by him that he makes no doubt but that all will turn to the old religion, for these people cannot hold things in their hands, nor can prevent its coming to that, and by his discourse fits himself for it, and would have my Lord Sandwich do so too, and me. After a little talk with him, and particularly about the ruinous condition of Tangier, which I have a great mind to lay before the Duke of York, but dare not, because of his great kindness to Lord Middleton, before it be too late, we parted, and I homeward but called at Povey's, and there he stopped me to dinner, there being Mr. Williamson, Lieutenant of the Tower, Mr. Child, and several others. And after dinner Povey and I together to talk of Tangier, and he would have me move the Duke in it, for it concerns him particularly, more than any, as being the head of us, and I do think to do it. Thence home, and at the office busy all the afternoon, and so to supper and to bed. The 4th of May. Up and to the office, and then my wife being gone with the coach to see her mother at Deptford, I, before the office sat, went to the excise office, and thence, being alone, stepped into Duck Lane, and thence tried to have sent a porter to Debs, but durst not trust him. And therefore, having bought a book to satisfy the bookseller for my stay there, a 12-pence book, Andronicus, of Tom Fuller, I took coach, and at the end of Jewin Street, next Red Cross Street, I sent the coachman to her lodging, and understand she has gone to Greenwich to one Mary's, a tanner's, at which I was glad, hoping to have opportunity to find her out there. And so, in great fear of being seen, I to the office, and there all the morning. Dined at home, and presently, after dinner, comes home my wife, who I believe was jealous of my spending the day, and I had a very good fortune in being at home, for if Deb had been to have been found, it is 40 to 1, but I had been abroad, God forgive me. So the afternoon at the office, and at night, walked with my wife in the garden, and my Lord Brunker with us, who is newly come to William Penn's lodgings. And by and by comes Mr. Hook, and my Lord and he and I, into my Lord's lodging, and there discoursed of many fine things in philosophy to my great content, and so home to supper and to bed. The 5th of May. Up and thought to have gone with Lord Brunker to Mr. Hook's this morning betimes, but my Lord is taken ill of the gout, and says his new lodgings have infected him, he having never had any symptoms of it till now. So walked to Gresham College to tell Hook that my Lord could not come, and so left word, he being abroad, and I to St. James's, and thence with the Duke of York to Whitehall, where the board waited on him all the morning. And so at noon with Sir Thomas Allen and Sir Edward Scott and Lord Carlingford to the Spanish ambassador's, where I dined the first time, the olio not so good as Shears is. There was at the table himself, and a Spanish countess, a good comely and witty lady, three fathers, and us. Discourse good and pleasant, and here was an Oxford scholar in a doctor's of laws gown, where the ambassador lay when the court was there, to salute him from the college before his return to Spain. This man, though a gentle sort of scholar, yet sat like a fool for want of French or Spanish, but only Latin, which he spoke like an Englishman to one of the fathers. And by, he and I to talk, and the company very merry at my defending Cambridge against Oxford, and I made much use of my French and Spanish here to my great content. But the dinner not extraordinary at all, either for quantity or quality. Thence home where my wife ill of those upon the maid's bed, and troubled at my being abroad. So I to the office, and there till night, and then to her, and she read to me the Epistle of Cassandra, which is very good indeed, and the better to her, because recommended by Shears. So to supper, and I to bed. The 6th of May. Up and by coach to William Coventry's, but he gone out, I by water back to the office, and there all the morning. Then to dinner, and then the office again, and anon with my wife by coach to take the air, it being a noble day, as far as the Green Man, mightily pleased with our journey and our condition of doing it in our own coach. And so home, and to walk in the garden, and so to supper and to bed, my eyes being bad with writing my journal, part of it, tonight. The 7th of May. Up and by coach to William Coventry's, and there to talk with him a great deal, with great content, and so to the Duke of York, having a great mind to speak to him about Tangier. But when I came to it, his interest for my Lord Middleton is such that I dare not. So to the Treasury Chamber, and then walked home round by the Excise Office, having by private vows last night, in prayer to God Almighty, cleared my mind for the present of the thoughts of going to Deb, to Greenwich, which I did long after. I passed by Guildhall, which is almost finished, and saw a poor labourer carried by, I think, dead with a fall, as many there are, I hear. So home to dinner, and then to the office a little, and so to see my Lord Brunker, who is a little ill of the gout, and there Madam Williams told me that she heard that my wife was going into France this year, which I did not deny, if I can get time, and I pray God I may, but I wondering how she came to know it. She tells me a woman that my wife spoke to for a maid did tell her so, and that a lady that desires to go thither would be glad to go in her company. Thence with my wife abroad with our coach most pleasant weather, and to Hackney and into the marshes, where I never was before, and thence round about to Old Ford and Bow. And coming through the latter home, there being some young gentlewomen at a door, and I seeming not to know who they were, my wife's jealousy told me presently that I knew well enough. It was that damned place where Deb dwelt, which made me answer very angrily that it was false, as it was, and I carried back again to see the place, and it proved not it, so I continued out of humour a good while at it, she being willing to be friends, as I was by and by, saying no more of it. So home, and there met with a letter from Captain Silas Taylor, and with it his written copy of a play that he hath wrote and intends to have acted. It is called The Serenade or Disappointment, which I will read, not believing he can make any good of that kind. He did once offer to show Harris it, but Harris, telling him that he would judge by one act whether it were good or no, which is indeed a foolish saying, and we see them out themselves in the choice of a play after they have read the whole, it being sometimes found not fit to act above three times. Nay, and some that have been refused at one house is found a good one at the other. This made Taylor, he would not show it him, but is angry, and hath carried it to the other, and he thinks it will be acted there, though he tells me they are not yet agreed upon it. But I will find time to get it read to me, and I did get my wife to begin a little tonight in the garden, but not so much as I could make any judgment on it. So home, to supper, and to bed. The 8th of May. Up into the office, and there comes lead to me, and at last my visits are done, and glasses got to put in and out as I will, and I think I have brought it into the utmost, both for easiness of using and benefit that I can, and so I paid him 15 shillings for what he hath done now last in the finishing them, and they, I hope, will do me a great deal of ease. At the office all the morning, and this day the first time did alter my side of the table, after above 8 years sitting on that next the fire. But now I'm not able to bear the light of the windows in my eyes, I do go there, and I did sit with much more content than I had done on the other side for a great while, and in winter the fire will not trouble my back. At noon, home to dinner, and after dinner all the afternoon within with Mr. Hayter, Gibson, and Will Hewer, reading over and drawing up new things in the instructions of commanders, which will be good, and I hope to get them confirmed by the Duke of York, though I perceive nothing will effectually perfect them but to look over the whole body of the instructions of all the officers of a ship, and make them all perfect together. This being done, comes my bookseller and brings me home, bound, my collection of papers about my address to the Duke of York, in August, which makes me glad, it being that which shall do me more right many years hence than perhaps all I ever did in my life, and therefore I do, both for my own and the King's sake, value it much. By and by also comes Brown, the mathematical instrument maker, and brings me home my instrument for perspective made according to the description of Dr. Wren's in the late transactions, and he hath made it, I think, very well, and that I believe will do the thing and therein give me great content, but that I fear all the contents that must be received by my eyes are almost lost. So to the office, and there late at business, and then home to supper and to bed. The 9th of May, Lord's Day. Up and after dressed in my best suit with gold trimming, I to the office, and there with Gibson and Tom finishing against tomorrow my notes upon commander's instructions, and when church time, to church with my wife, leaving them at work. Dr. Mills preached a dull sermon, and so we, home to dinner, and thence by coach to St. Andrew's, Holborn, thinking to have heard Dr. Stillingfleet preach, but we could not get a place, and so to St. Margaret's, Westminster, and there heard a sermon and did get places, the first time we have heard there these many years. And here, at a distance, I saw Betty Mitchell, but she has become much a plainer woman than she was a girl. Thence toward the park, but too soon to go in, so went on to Knightsbridge, and there ate and drank at the World's End, where we had good things, and then back to the park, and there till night, being fine weather and much company, and so home and after supper to bed. This day I first left off both my waistcoats by day, and my waistcoat by night, it being very hot weather, so hot as to make me break out here and there in my hands, which vexes me to see, but is good for me. The 10th of May. Troubled about 3 in the morning with my wife's calling her maid up and rising herself to go with her coach abroad to gather maid you, which she did, and I troubled for it for fear of any hurt going abroad so betimes happening to her. But I to sleep again, and she came home about 6, and to bed again, all well. And I up, and with Mr. Gibson, by coach to St. James's, and thence to Whitehall, where the Duke of York met the office, and there discoursed of several things, particularly the instructions to commanders of ships. But here happened by chance a discourse of the Council of Trade, against which the Duke of York is mightily displeased, and particularly Mr. Child, against whom, he speaking hardly, Captain Cox did second the Duke of York by saying that he was talked on for an unfair dealer with masters of ships about freight, to which Sir Thomas Littleton very hotly and foolishly replied presently that he never heard any honest man speak ill of Child, to which the Duke of York did make a smart reply and was angry, so as I was sorry to hear it come so far, and that I, by seeming to assent to Cox, might be observed too much by Littleton, though I said nothing aloud, for this must breed great heart-burning. After this meeting done, the Duke of York took the treasurers into his closet to chide them, as Mr. Wren tells me, for that my Lord Keeper did last night at the Council say, when nobody was ready to say anything against the constitution of the Navy, that he did believe the treasurers of the Navy had something to say, which was very foul on their part, to be parties against us. They being gone, Mr. Wren took boat, thinking to dine with my Lord of Canterbury. But when we came to Lambeth, the gate was shut, which is strictly done at 12 o'clock, and nobody comes in afterward. So we lost our labour, and therefore back to Whitehall, and thence walked, my boy Jack with me, to my Lord Crewe, whom I have not seen since he was sick, which is 8 months ago, I think, and there dined with him. He is mightily broke. A stranger, a country gentleman, was with him, and he pleased with my discourse accidentally about the decay of gentlemen's families in the country, telling us that the old rule was that a family might remain 50 miles from London 100 year, 100 mile off from London 200 years, and so, farther or nearer London more or less years. He also told us that he heard his father say that in his time it was so rare for a country gentleman to come to London that when he did come, he used to make his will before he set out. Thence to St. James's, and there met the Duke of York, who told me with great content that he did now think he should master our adversaries, for that the King did tell him that he was satisfied in the constitution of the Navy, but that it was well to give these people leave to object against it, which they having not done, he did give warrant to the Duke of York to direct Sir Jeremy Smith to be a commissioner of the Navy in the room of Penn, which though he be an impertinent fellow, yet I am glad of it, it showing that the other side is not so strong as it was, and so, in plain terms, the Duke of York did tell me that they were every day losing ground, and particularly that he would take care to keep out Child. At all which I am glad, though yet I dare not think myself secure, but the King may yet be wrought upon by these people to bring changes in our office, and remove us ere it be long. Thence I to Whitehall, and there took boat to Westminster and to Mistress Martin's, who is not come to town from her husband at Portsmouth. So drank only at Craggs with her and Doll, and so to the Swan, and there Bezard, a new maid, that is there. And so to Whitehall again to a committee of Tangier, where I see all things going to rack in the business of the corporation, and consequently in the place, by Middleton's going. Thence walked a little with Creed, who tells me he hears how fine my horses and coach are, and advises me to avoid being noted for it, which I was vexed to hear taken notice of, it being what I feared. and Povey told me of my gold lace sleeves in the park yesterday, which vexed me also so as to resolve never to appear in court with it, but presently to have it taken off, as it is fit I should. And so to my wife at Unthanks, and coach, and called at my tailor's to that purpose, and so home, and after a walk in the garden, home to supper and to bed. The 11th of May. My wife again up by 4 o'clock to go to gather May dew, and so back home by 7 to bed, and by and by I up and to the office where all the morning, and dined at noon at home with my people, and so all the afternoon. In the evening, my wife and I all alone with the boy, by water up as high as Putney, almost with the tide, and back again, neither staying, going, nor coming, but talking and singing and reading a foolish copy of verses, upon my Lord Mayor's entertaining of all the bachelors, designed in praise to my Lord Mayor. And so home, and to the office a little, and then home to bed, my eyes being bad. Some trouble at court for fear of the Queen's miscarrying, she being, as they all conclude, far gone with child. The 12th of May. Up and to Westminster Hall, where the term is, and this the first day of my being there, and here by chance met Roger Pepys, come to town the last night. I glad to see him. After some talk with him and others, and among others Sir Charles Herbert and Sidney Montagu, the latter of whom is to set out tomorrow toward Flanders and Italy, I invited them to dine with me tomorrow, and so to Mistress Martin's lodging, who come to town last night, and there you did affair her, she having been a month, I think, at Portsmouth with her husband, newly come home from the Straits. But, Lord, how silly the woman talks of her great entertainment there, and how all the gentry came to visit her, and that she believes her husband is worth £600 or £700, which, nevertheless, I'm glad of, but I doubt they will spend it as fast. Thence home, and after dinner my wife and I to the Duke of York's playhouse, and there in the side balcony, over against the music, I did hear, but not see, a new play, the first day acted, The Roman Virgin, an old play, and but ordinary, I thought, but the trouble of my eyes with the light of the candles did almost kill me. Thence to my Lord Sandwich's, and there have a promise from Sydney to come and dine with me tomorrow, and so my wife and I home in our coach, and there find my brother John, as I looked for, come to town from Ellington, where, among other things, he tells me the first news that my sister is with child, and far gone, which I know not whether it did more trouble or please me, having no great care for my friends to have children, though I love other people's. So, glad to see him, we to supper, and so to bed. The 13th of May. Up and to the office, where all the morning, it being a rainy, foul day. But at noon comes my Lord Hinchingbroke and Sidney, and Sir Charles Herbert and Roger Pepys, and dined with me, and had a good dinner, and very merry, and with us all the afternoon, it being a farewell to Sidney. And so in the evening they away, and I to my business at the office, and so to supper and talk with my brother, and so to bed. The 14th of May. Up and to St. James's to the Duke of York, and thence to Whitehall, where we met about office business, and then at noon to dinner with Mr. Wren to Lambeth with the Archbishop of Canterbury, the first time I was ever there, and I have long longed for it, where a noble house and well furnished with good pictures and furniture, and noble attendance in good order, and great deal of company, though an ordinary day, and exceeding great cheer, nowhere better, or so much that ever I think I saw for an ordinary table. And the bishop mighty kind to me, particularly desiring my company another time, when less company there. Most of the company gone, and I going, I heard by a gentleman of a sermon that was to be there, and so I stayed to hear it, thinking it serious, till by and by the gentleman told me it was a mockery by one Cornet Bolton, a very gentlemanlike man that behind a chair did pray and preach like a Presbyter Scot that ever I heard in my life, with all the possible imitation in grimaces and voice, and his text about the hanging up their harps upon the willows, and a serious good sermon too, exclaiming against bishops and crying up of my good Lord Eglinton, till it made us all burst. But I did wonder to have the bishop at this time to make himself sport with things of this kind, but I perceive it was shown him as a rarity, and he took care to have the room door shut, but there was about 20 gentlemen there, and myself infinitely pleased with the novelty. So over to Whitehall to a little committee of Tangier, and thence, walking in the gallery, I met Sir Thomas Osborne, who, to my great content, did, of his own accord, fall into discourse with me, with so much professions of value and respect, placing the whole virtue of the office of the navy upon me, and that for the controller's place no man in England was fit for it but me when Sir John Minnis, as he says it is necessary, is removed, but then knows not what to do for a man in my place, and in discourse, though I have no mind to the other, did bring in Tom Hayter to be the fittest man in the world for it, which he took good notice of. But in the whole I was mightily pleased, reckoning myself now 50% securer in my place than I did before think myself to be. Thence to Unthanks, and there find my wife, but not dressed, which vexed me, because of going to the park, it being a most pleasant day after yesterday's rain, which lays all the dust, and most people going out thither, which vexed me. So home, sullen, but then my wife and I by water with my brother as high as Fulham, talking and singing and playing the rogue with the western bargemen about the women of Woolwich, which mads them, and so back home to supper and to bed. The 15th of May. Up and at the office all the morning, dined at home and Creed with me home, and I did discourse about evening some reckonings with him in the afternoon, but I could not, for my eyes, do it, which troubled me and vexed him that I would not. But yet we were friends, I advancing him money without it, and so to walk all the afternoon together in the garden, and I perceive still he doth expect a change in our matters, especially as to religion, and fits himself for it by professing himself for it in his discourse. He gone, I to my business at my office, and so at night home to supper and to bed. The 16th of May, Lord's Day. My wife and I at church, our pew filled, which vexed me at her confidence, with Mistress Backwell, and six more that she brought with her, dined at home, and William Battalier with us, and I all the afternoon drawing up a foul draft of my petition to the Duke of York about my eyes, for leave to spend 3 or 4 months out of the office, drawing it so as to give occasion to a voyage abroad, which I did to my pretty good liking, and then with my wife to Hyde Park, where a good deal of company and good weather, and so home to supper and to bed. The 17th of May. Up and to several places doing business, and then home to dinner, and there my wife and I and brother John by coach to the King's Playhouse, and saw The Spanish Curate revived, which is a pretty good play, but my eyes troubled with seeing it mightily. Thence carried them and Mr. Gibson, who met me at my Lord Brunker's, with a fair copy of my petition, which I thought to show the Duke of York this night, but could not, and therefore carried them to the park where they had never been, and so home to supper and to bed. Great the news now of the French taking San Domingo in Spaniola from the Spaniards, which troubles us that they should have, and have the honour of taking it when we could not. The 18th of May. Up and to St. James's and other places, and then to the office, where all the morning. At noon, home, and dined in my wife's chamber, she being much troubled with the toothache, and I stayed till a surgeon of hers came, one Leeson, who hath formerly drawn her mouth. And he advised her to draw it, so I to the office, and by word is come that she hath drawn it, which pleased me, it being well done. So I home to comfort her, and so back to the office till night, busy, and so home to supper and to bed. The 19th of May. With my coach to St. James's, and there finding the Duke of York gone to muster his men in Hyde Park, I alone with my boy thither, and there saw more, walking out of my coach as other gentlemen did, of a soldier's trade than ever I did in my life, the men being mighty fine, and their commanders, particularly the Duke of Monmouth. But methought their trade but very easy, as to the mustering of their men, and the men but indifferently ready to perform what was commanded in the handling their arms. Here the news was first talked of Harry Killigrew's being wounded in 9 places last night by footmen in the highway, going from the park in a hackney coach toward Hammersmith to his house at Turnham Green, they being supposed to be my Lady Shrewsbury's men, she being by in her coach with 6 horses. Upon an old grudge, of his saying openly that he had lain with her. Thence by and by to Whitehall, and there I waited upon the King and Queen all dinner-time in the Queen's lodgings, she being in her white pinner and apron, like a woman with child, and she seemed handsomer, plain so, than dressed. And by, dinner done, I out and to walk in the gallery for the Duke of York's coming out, and there meeting Mr. May, he took me down about 4 o'clock to Mr. Chiffinch's lodgings, and all alone did get me a dish of cold chickens and good wine, and I dined like a prince, being before very hungry and empty. By and by the Duke of York comes, and readily took me to his closet and received my petition, and discoursed it about my eyes, and pitied me, and with much kindness did give me his consent to be absent, and approved of my proposition to go into Holland to observe things there of the navy, but would first ask the king's leave, which he anon did, and did tell me that the king would be a good master to me, these were his words about my eyes, and doth like of my going into Holland, but doth advise that nobody should know of my going thither, but pretend that I did go into the country somewhither, which I liked well. Glad of this, I home, and thence took out my wife, and to Mr. Holyard's about a swelling in her cheek. But he not at home, and so round by Islington, and eat and drink, and so home and after supper to bed. In discourse this afternoon the Duke of York did tell me that he was the most amazed at one thing just now that ever he was in his life, which was that the Duke of Buckingham did just now come into the Queen's bedchamber, where the King, and much mixed company, and among others Tom Killigrew, the father of Harry, who was last night wounded so as to be in danger of death, and his man is quite dead, and there in discourse did say that he had spoke with some that was by, which all the world must know that it must be his whore, my Lady Shrewsbury, who says that they did not mean to hurt but beat him, and that he did run first at them with his sword, so that he doth hereby clearly discover that he knows who did it, and is of conspiracy with them, being of known conspiracy with her, which the Duke of York did seem to be pleased with, and said it might perhaps cost him his life in the House of Lords, and I find was mightily pleased with it, saying it was the most impudent thing, as well as foolish, that ever he knew man do in all his life. The 20th of May. Up and to the office where all the morning. At noon the whole office, Brunker, John Minnis, Thomas Middleton, Samuel Pepys and Captain Cox, to dine with the parish at the Three Tuns, this day being Ascension Day, where exceeding good discourse among the merchants, and thence back home, and after a little talk with my wife, to my office, and did a great deal of business, and so, with my eyes mighty weary and my head full of care, how to get my accounts and business settled against my journey, home to supper and to bed. Yesterday, at my coming home, I found that my wife had, on a sudden, put away Matt upon some falling out, and I doubt my wife did call her ill names by my wife's own discourse, but I did not meddle to say anything upon it but let her go, being not sorry because now we may get one that speaks French to go abroad with us. The 21st of May. I waited with the office upon the Duke of York in the morning, dined at home, where Lewis Phillips, with a friend of his, dined with me, in the afternoon at the office, in the evening visited by Roger Pepys and Philip Packer, and so home. The 22nd of May. Dined at home, the rest of the whole day at the office. The 23rd of May. Lord's Day. Called up by Roger Pepys and his son, who to church with me, and then home to dinner. In the afternoon carried them to Westminster and myself to St. James's, where not finding the Duke of York, back home, and with my wife spent the evening taking the air about Hackney with great pleasure, and places we had never seen before. The 24th of May. To Whitehall and there all the morning and thence home, and giving order for some business and setting my brother to make a catalogue of my books, I back again to Will Hewer to Whitehall, where I attended the Duke of York and was by him led to the King, who expressed great sense of my misfortune in my eyes, and concernment for their recovery, and accordingly signified not only his assent to my desire therein, but commanded me to give them rest this summer, according to my late petition to the Duke of York. Will Hewer and I dined alone at the Swan, and thence, having thus waited on the King, spent till 4 o'clock in St. James's Park, when I met my wife at Unthanks, and so home. The 25th of May. Dined at home and the rest of the day, morning and afternoon, at the office. The 26th of May. To Whitehall, where all the morning. Dined with Mr. Chiffinch, with Alderman Backwell and Spragg, the court full of the news from Captain Hubbard of the Milford, touching his being affronted in the Straits, shot at, and having 8 men killed him by a French man of war, calling him English dog, and commanding him to strike, which he refused, and, as knowing himself much too weak for him, made away from him. The Queen, as being supposed with child, fell ill so as to call for Madam Nunn, Mr. Chiffinch's sister, and one of her women, from dinner from us, this being the last day of their doubtfulness touching her being with child, and were therein well confirmed by Her Majesty's being well again before night. One Sir Edmund Berry Godfrey, a woodmonger and justice of peace in Westminster, having 2 days since arrested Sir Alexander Frazier for about £30 in firing, the Baileys were apprehended, committed to the Porter's Lodge, and there, by the King's command, the last night severely whipped, from which the justice himself very hardly escaped, to such an unusual degree was the King moved therein. But he lies now in the lodge, justifying his act as grounded upon the opinion of several of the judges, and among others my Lord Chief Justice, which makes the King very angry with the Chief Justice, as they say, and the Justice doth lie and justify his act, and says he will suffer in that cause for the people, and doth refuse to receive almost any nutriment. The effects of it may be bad to the court. Expected a meeting of Tangier this afternoon, but failed. So home, met by my wife at Unthanks. The 27th of May. At the office all the morning, dined at home Mr. Holyard with me, presented this day by Mr. Brown with a book of drawing by him, lately printed, which cost me 20 shillings to him. In the afternoon to the Temple to meet with Auditor Aldworth, about my interest account, but failed of meeting him. To visit my cousin Creed, and found her ill at home, being with child, and looks poorly. Thence to her husband at Gresham College upon some occasions of Tangier, and so home, with Sir John Banks with me, to Mark Lane. The 28th of May. To St. James's, where the King's being with the Duke of York prevented a meeting of the Tangier Commission. But, Lord, what a deal of sorry discourse did I hear between the King and several lords about him here, but very mean, methought. So with Creed to the excise office, and back to Whitehall, where in the park Sir George Carteret did give me an account of his discourse lately with the Commissioners of Accounts, who except against many things, but none that I find considerable, among others, that of the officers of the Navy selling of the King's goods, and particularly my providing him with calico flags, which having been by order, and but once, when necessity and the King's apparent profit is conformable to my particular duty, it will prove to my advantage that it be inquired into. Nevertheless, having this morning received from them a demand of an account of all monies within their cognizance, received and issued by me, I was willing, upon this hint, to give myself rest, by knowing whether their meaning therein might reach only to my treasurership for Tangier, or the monies employed on this occasion. I went, therefore, to them this afternoon to understand what monies they meant, where they answered me by saying the 11 months' tax, customs and prize money, without mentioning, any more than I demanding, the service they respected therein. And so, without further discourse, we parted, upon very good terms of respect and with few words, but my mind not fully satisfied about the monies they mean. At noon Mr. Gibson and I dined at the Swan, and thence, doing this at Brook House, and thence calling at the excise office for an account of payment of my tallies of Tangier, I home. And thence with my wife and brother spent the evening on the water, carrying our supper with us as high as Chelsea. So home, making sport with the western bargees, and my wife and I singing, to my great content. So home. The 29th of May, the King's birthday. To Whitehall, where all very gay, and particularly the Prince of Tuscany very fine, and is the first day of his appearing out of mourning since he came. I heard the Bishop of Peterborough preach, but dully, but a good anthem of Pelham's. Home to dinner, and then with my wife to Hyde Park, where all the evening great store of company, and great preparations by the Prince of Tuscany, to celebrate the night with fireworks for the King's birthday, and so home. The 30th of May, Whit Sunday. By water to Whitehall, and thence to Sir William Coventry, where all the morning by his bedside, he being indisposed, our discourse was upon the notes I had lately prepared for commander's instructions, but concluded that nothing will render them effectual without an amendment in the choice of them that they be seamen, and not gentlemen above the command of the admiral by the greatness of their relations at court. Thence to Whitehall and dined alone with Mr. Chiffinch's sister, whither, by and by, came in Mr. Prodgers and Sir Thomas Allen, and by and by fine Mistress Wells, who is a great beauty, and there I had my full gaze upon her, to my great content, she being a woman of pretty conversation. Thence to the Duke of York, who, with the officers of the navy, made a good entrance on my draft of my new instructions to commanders, as well expressing his general views of a reformation among them, as liking of my humble offers towards it. Thence, being called by my wife, Mr. Gibson and we to the park, whence the rain sent us suddenly home. The 31st of May. Up very betimes, and so continued all the morning with Will Hewer upon examining and stating my accounts, in order to the fitting myself to go abroad beyond sea, which the ill condition of my eyes and my neglect for a year or two have kept me behindhand in, and so as to render it very difficult now and troublesome to my mind to do it. But I this day made a satisfactory entrance therein. Dined at home, and in the afternoon by water to Whitehall, calling by the way at Mitchell's, where I have not been many a day till just the other day, and now I met her mother there and knew her husband to be out of town, and here yo did besar ella, but have not opportunity para hacer mas with her as I would have offered if yo had had it. And thence had another meeting with the Duke of York at Whitehall, with the Duke of York on yesterday's work, and made a good advance, and so, being called by my wife, we to the park, Mary Batalier, a Dutch gentleman, a friend of hers, being with us. Thence to the World's End, a drinking-house by the park, and there merry, and so home late. And thus ends all that I doubt I shall ever be able to do with my own eyes in the keeping of my journal, I being not able to do it any longer, having done now so long as to undo my eyes almost every time that I take a pen in my hand, and therefore, whatever comes of it, I must forbear, and therefore resolve from this time forward to have it kept by my people in longhand, and must therefore be contented to set down no more than is fit for them and all the world to know. Or if there be anything which cannot be much now my amours to Deb are past, and my eyes hindering me in almost all other pleasures, I must endeavour to keep a margin in my book open, to add, here and there, a note in shorthand with my own hand. And so I betake myself to that course, which is almost as much as to see myself go into my grave, for which, and all the discomforts that will accompany my being blind, the good God prepare me. Samuel Pepys, May 31, 1669.